Thank you, worship team, for an amazing worship service. I'm hoping and praying you sense his presence today. God's doing something in our lives. Amen? Good to see you today as we look out and see some new faces, see some faces we haven't seen for a bit. Good to have you. I'm going to make a plug for Wednesday night, and I'm just going to call it out. Guys, we need you to show up. This is a competition on Wednesday night, just saying, you know, because everything with guys is a competition, right? And the girls are like whooping our rears. So they had 51 on Wednesday, and we had like 25. So we have to recover well. So I'm calling the shoemakers back there because we have like we would like tilt the table really, really good. So all the women on your side stay home and all the men come. All right. No, seriously, we have two amazing classes. The women hearing, discerning the voice of God, an amazing class that you want to be there. And the men, step up, a call to courageous manhood. I challenge you, come, be there. It's going to be some great, I've had some conversations with you as individuals, as men, come, be over there at East Campus. We need you. We want your participation. Ladies, we'll set up more tables. They've filled the gym, and it's an amazing class. Great turnout last week. And so we just want you to come and join us. We have a special announcement this morning. If you've been on Facebook, you've watched that Rhonda and I were out of town and we were celebrating our son walking graduation at Northwest University. We're so proud of him. And because he's on pastoral staff as well, we want to honor him that way. So come up here with me. We have the board and has a card for him. So not only are we proud as parents, but we want to declare that there's 10% of the class. What was it, 10%? 10%. He's in the upper 10% of the class. There we go. There was 8 in the 500 and some that graduated that got this, whatever it is. I can't think. The honors award. I can't remember what it is. It's something Greek, whatever. But he was one of 8 of those. And so we're really proud of him today. Would you give him one more round of applause? Thank you. I did a poor job in that. My wife would have done better because she knows all the terms, and I'm like going, it was alpha something, yeah, that something. And he got this really cool drape that went around his neck, and he was blinged out as he was walking down. And this next Tuesday night, he'll be graduating here at the South Campus. He's going to be the class speaker, so come join us 7 o'clock out at Brooks, the Northwest University Salem campus, the gymnasium there. Let's pack it out for him, shall we? If you have an opening, we would love for you to do so. Today, we have amazing friends and amazing guests that are with us. Darren and Heidi Walker, Guatemala, their families with them. He's coming to share a challenging message today. And I believe that God's doing something in our church, doing something in our lives, and is pushing us further along in generosity. And I want you to hear his heart today, and I'm going to come up at the end and dialogue with him a little bit, kind of took an avenue in first service that I thought was very powerful. And I'm believing that God's going to speak to your heart today, that you're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to hear us be challenged in a way that's never been challenged before. And I'm asking God to let you be a channel as you hear this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's welcome him today. Would you do that?
My own. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you guys excited about Jesus today? Man, when we were worshiping, man, I love that song about the walls just coming down, you know, falling down. And I was thinking about that, you know, and the Lord put on my heart that there's some people in here that you're carrying around some burdens. You're carrying around struggles. You're carrying around things. And we just, you know, I was like, you know, what would we do in Guatemala, man? We would just speak to it, you know, and pray over it. And so I just want to do that right now. God, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place, God. We pray that you would just break down the walls in the name of Jesus, that depression, anxiety, fear, things that are holding people back, God, that you would just liberate them in the name of Jesus. We pray for healings, God, right now in this service, God. We know you're a healing God, and you can do it, Lord, and we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, man. I get excited, man. In Guatemala, we're in the middle of revival. We have a school that's underneath a 430-foot bridge, and we're meeting the needs of kids that live in the slums, that live in the, you know, their prayers when they go to church is, God, please hold back the rain so my house doesn't get washed away. And God's moving in a powerful way there. We have 6,000 kids every single week that's part of our ministry. We have 21 schools. There's 6,000 kids that we're meeting the needs on a daily basis. And we've been sent videos from the schools, and the kids are touching the throne of God, and they're praying for us. That God would move in the services every Sunday. We have 6,000 kids praying about that. So I know God's going to move today. My wife and I, we started out in Newport, Oregon. We were youth pastors, associate pastors, worship pastors, and anything the pastor didn't want to do. So I go to the hospital, you know, okay. You know, and the pastor was my father-in-law, so I couldn't argue, you know. And I was working in banking, so that was my job during the week. And then I dedicate 50-something hours to the bank, and then I do 20 hours at the church or 30 or whatever. And then my wife was selling houses and doing property management. And so we kind of had this really cool operation going on. You know, I did the loans. She sold the houses. And it worked out good, you know. And so we're making really pretty good money. You know, I'd finally, you know, arrived. And was doing really well. And we had a house with the bay view that looked over the Aquinnah Bay, and everything was going great, you know. And then God just has ways of messing things up, you know. So he sends this missionary to the church, and this missionary, Steve Slater, gets up and he preaches and to the Fiji Islands, and the whole time he's preaching, he's preaching at me. And he's like, if you feel called to missions, I want you to come to the front, you know. I went to the back. I'm not going up there to the front. Are you kidding me? I'm going to share with everybody in the church where I'm on staff that I want to be a missionary. So I went to the back, and I was struggling in the back. You know, I was having some anxiety, some panic, you know, and didn't want to go to the front. But then God used a little boy of like 7 years old who got up and came to the front. And he dedicated his life to missions. And so I thought, well, if the little boy can do it, I can surely do it. So I went to the front, and I cried in the front like a baby. And I cried when we sold our house. Cried when we had this Honda Pilot we paid off in 10 months, sold that. You know, I was like, man. You know, and then my friends, they want to come to the garage sale and get everything for cheap, you know. And so I wasn't crying then. I was a little upset that they wouldn't place such great value on missions, and in my couch. And so I realized there's a point to this, that there's a cost to following Jesus. Doesn't come easy. There's a sacrifice when we follow Jesus, and it's not easy. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And so sometimes we have to take up the cross and follow him. And so we've gone to Guatemala, and God's moving. I want to show you a video. This is my wife and three boys, Josiah, Nicholas, and Kenan. And Heidi's going to come up in a little bit and share towards the end of the service. Here's the video.
Come on, 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 come on
Amen. The goal is to get young people that from 18 to 24 that feel a passion and a call for missions to come down and work with us for a year. You know, the Mormons give 2 years of their life to missions, and I heard someone say a lot of Christians just give excuses, so we're not wanting to do that. We believe in investing in the next generation. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 38. And it reads, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." I love this passage of scripture because it talks about Jesus and the compassion that he had when he saw the multitude. He looks up and he sees 5,000 plus people and he has compassion on them. If we're going to reach the world around us, we have to be people of compassion. Jesus had compassion on the multitude because it says they were like sheep without a shepherd. He looked out and he saw their hopelessness. He saw their physical needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs. He saw the whole package and he said, "I want to help them." Jesus saw a world without hope. He saw a multitude that needed him. Our mission to reach the world must first start with compassion for the world. Without compassion, we'll never reach the world the way God wants us to reach the world. Alfred Norton, a pioneer missionary to India, said it this way: "A Christianity that coldly sits down and goes on its routine of formal work and allows its fellow men to starve or to be obliged to go through all the hard sufferings and exposure connected with famine, without effort to help them, might as well quit its preaching." God gave me a lesson on compassion in Guatemala. We live in a city of 8 million people. To get across the city, it takes 3 hours in traffic. So I left at 4 in the morning to avoid the traffic. And I was going across the city, and I went out to a small village and to see the kids. And we were high-fiving, having a good time. A lot of kids were running around and playing. And, you know, sometimes God will present needs when you least expect it. The needs will arise. And so a pastor comes up to me and says, "Hey, I need you to pray for this little girl. She's sick." Now, a lot of these communities in Guatemala, imagine not having doctors. Imagine not having medicine. This girl, Phoebe, her dad, he repairs tires along the side of the road. Her mom, she makes tortillas and sells them. And they have a little bit of money to buy beans, tortillas and eggs, and sometimes the parents have to skip meals so their kids can eat. And all of a sudden she gets sick, and she's thinking the sickness will go away, but it doesn't. It just keeps on lingering. And so that was a situation that I was confronted with that day. The pastor's saying, "Pray that Phoebe gets healed." So I pray and I say, "Lord, I pray that you would heal Phoebe, God." And while I'm praying, I feel like the Lord says, "I want you to do something about this." And I'm thinking, "But God, I just asked you to do something about it. Come on, you know?" So I'm praying, and God says, "Do something about it." This is the photo of Phoebe. 35 pounds at 9 years old. I said, "Pastor, we need to do something about this." We got Phoebe to the capital city. We got her to a pediatrician. She was hospitalized for 2 weeks. She underwent treatment for a whole year. We were praying for her and doing the best we knew to do. And God healed Phoebe through medical doctors. Check out the next slide. Phoebe graduates the sixth grade. Many of you might say, well, the sixth grade, you know. 3 out of 10 children graduate the sixth grade in Guatemala. She's now ahead of the game. She's in eighth grade. She gave me this bag. It has hearts with pop tops on it. Really neat bag. Just to say thank you for saving her life. Now she wants to go back into her community and be a teacher to the kids. The second thing I see on this passage of scripture is Jesus gives the disciples a challenge. And the disciples are sitting there going, how in the world are we going to feed all these people? And Jesus says, go feed them. Many times we have challenges in our lives. Many times we're faced with challenges that we don't know how we're going to see the outcome. We don't know how it's going to work out. Sometimes challenges will come in a negative and an impossible way. You're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And sometimes challenges come in the positive way, like there's so much blessing, I don't know what to do with it. Don't you want those challenges? I like those challenges. So I had a few of those in Guatemala. In fact, I had two, and I want to talk about two challenges. The blessing. We're living in a condo. My wife and my three boys and our German Shepherd, Lucy. Love that dog. I miss her. You guys need to help me get back to Guatemala so I can see my dog. All right. Oh, Lucy, I love her. Okay, such a good dog. Someone's taking care of her. You know, we didn't take her with, so we have a whole year off of Lucy. Anyway, so there we are living in this condo. There's no space. We have teams from the States all over the place that are coming down to be a part of the ministry. Everything just started blowing up. We had 4 missionaries called to missions. One's in Africa, one's in Spain. 2 of them are coming to work with us and a ton of interns. And God just started moving. We were able to build a school with 5 teams, 3 stories high. The school went from 75 students to 350. I mean, God just started blessing. And so my wife and I, we'd walk into our house and the kids, and there was no room. There was bread to the ceiling. And so I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? So my wife says, get another place because Lucy the dog needs more space. And I said, you're right. We need to get a better place. So I went looking for a place and I saw this house on the right and I went and knocked on the door. The mother-in-law came, you know, and she said, well, I think they want to sell it. And I'm like, well, we can only rent it, you know. Gave her my card. Went around all over the town, our city, looking for a place. I get a call back from the first house, and they said, come look at it. So when I walked into the place to see the house, I wasn't expecting it was 2 houses on this really cool lot. And I thought, man, that'd be great for space. We could put the teams over here, could have bunk beds, have their own place, you know, and it's excited. And then I saw the house. This big, nice house, and then there's a house in the front, and then reality kind of kicked in. It's like, man, I don't think I could even afford the rent for this, you know? In Acts chapter 3, there's a verse that says, silver and gold have I none. I kind of bank on that one sometimes as a missionary. So I have a challenge. And so I started talking to the daughter. She goes, well, I'm not even the owner. My mom and dad own the place, and they live in Corona, California. You're going to have to talk to them. So we got on a Skype call with Annabelle and Otto. Annabella wanted to know what I was doing. Said, I'm a missionary. She goes, well, what organization are you with? And I said, the Assemblies of God. And she immediately said, no, you cannot rent the place. I'm kidding. She didn't do that. All right. Checking to see if you're awake. So there I was, you know. And she said, no, you know, we'd love to rent the place to you. And so we agreed to a rent. And so I rented it for 3 years. We had all kinds of teams come down. It was awesome. We have bunk beds, man. It's the coolest place ever. So if you guys bring a team, we'll put you there. So I got the bright idea one day. Let's buy the place. Why not, you know? I've been renting it, you know? Let's buy this place. And so let's buy it with no money. Good idea, right? So now I have my impossible challenge. don't have the money. So I did what I do is I didn't know what else to do. I sent a letter to our organization, the denomination, asking for money. And I put together this proposal. You know, I'm working on an MBA, so it was a business proposal with like goals and measurements and photos, and this is what we're going to do at the property, and mission statement, all this stuff. It was really great. And I emailed it. I sent it off. The silence you hear right now, that's what I got. Nothing. I mean, nothing. It's like, you know, if you do something questionable, man, they're going to call you on the carpet. If you ask for money, it's like they forget about you. It's like we don't even know if we have a missionary in Guatemala. It's like, is there a guy down there working or something? You're asking us for money. So I got discouraged. No one's on my side. You know, a lot of times we have this expectation, and in between the expectation and reality sometimes is a frustration, and we get frustrated, right? So I had a bad attitude. Anyone ever had a bad attitude when it didn't turn out the way you thought it should be? Now, one of my goals was that we would have an avocado tree at the place, because I thought if I have an avocado tree there, I can make guacamole. There's a lot of things you suffer as a missionary. Come on, I want my guacamole. So there I was, and I can make a mean guacamole. And so I wanted this place. Discouraged. I go out to the gate. The water guy's there. Wasn't expecting God to speak to me, because I figured he didn't want to, because I was mad, you know? And God uses the most unlikely person to give me a word. He used the water guy. And the water guy says to me, "Missionary, I got a word from God for you. I feel like God's telling me." You know, have you ever heard that before? And you're like, oh, great, what's going to come out, you know? God's going to give you this place. And not only this place, but the lot next door. And I was like, wow. And he's like, and I want you to go read the Bible now. Isaiah 53. I mean, I got schooled by the water boy. I mean, God uses whoever he wants to, because he doesn't care. And so, April the 4th, 2017, we bought the place. It's our place. We use it for teams. We use it for God's glory. Man, isn't that awesome? And guess what? I found out later, talking to Annabella, when I went to Corona, California, to preach at the Spanish church, because they're part of the same denomination as we are, and I didn't even realize that, Assemblies of God. So I'm down there preaching in Annabella's church, and Otto, and we get done. She makes this awesome Guatemalan meal. It's great. And I said, Annabella, there's one thing I don't like about your house after living there 3 years. It doesn't have an avocado tree. Come on, you know, you got to gripe a little bit. And so she said, oh, yeah, it does. My son planted one. It's over there by the big tree. And I looked at my wife and I'm like, what is she talking about? And she goes, they don't yield fruit for like 8 years, you know? And I'm like, the little stick over there by the big tree, that's an avocado tree? Yeah. I go, man, we've been using that to play soccer with, like to shoot the ball through, you know? I bet God's sitting there going, oh, my goodness. I gave him the tree, you know, and he uses it. But the thing is God gave him a challenge. Jesus gave him a challenge. He says, you feed them. The problem is never whether or not God is willing to multiply. See, Jesus knew he was going to multiply the bread and the loaves that day. That's not the problem. The problem is there's not enough people that are willing to give up their lunches. But Jesus says, you know, go find something. And the disciples are looking around and they see this little boy who's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then the Bible says, but what's that to so many people? But it doesn't have to be that way, because God says, put something in my hand. I just want you to put something in my hand. Watch me multiply it. And I believe that God wants to convert our challenges. He wants us to be a channel of blessing. He wants us to be people of channel, where we're taking the blessing of God, where we're taking what he gives us, we're putting it in his hands, he multiplies it, and boom, we start feeding the multitude and we start reaching this community. Now, if you're not excited about that, man, your wood's wet. There's a shortage of obedient people that are willing to give it all up for the sake of the gospel. God's not asking you for his leftovers. He's asking you, as we would say in Guatemala, for the whole enchilada. He wants everything. He wants your lunch. All right, I got to hurry. I get excited, and I got one more service to go yet. It just might be better. Today I was struggling. I need another cup of coffee, you know? So there I was, preaching. I was up in the mountains. Come on up, babe. I'm going to get my wife involved now. This is great. Come on, babe. We want to tell you a story about a boy we met in the mountains.
We were doing an outreach with a team in the mountains in Guatemala, and I noticed this little boy on the front row, and we have three boys, and so I noticed that his feet looked kind of small for his height, and so I kind of kept watching him throughout the program, and I told Darren, I says, we need to buy this boy new shoes, and we took Melvin, and we took six other kids with us that day and got them new shoes, and I believe it's kind of like when Jesus washes the feet. It's just doing something practical to make a difference, to meet a need and then to share the love of Jesus. And so that's how our relationship with Melvin started. And over the last 4 years, we've given over 2,000 pairs of shoes out because people like you are backing us and helping us make it happen. So he's going to continue with the story of Melvin.
So I got to do a video about Melvin. If you want to see it, go to Darren-Heidi Walker and look down our Facebook and you'll find it. So I did a video about Melvin and his life. His dad makes $35 a week. $35 a week. We're talking $5 a day. Melvin gets up with his dad. He goes and he cuts wood. They cut wood till noon. His dad continues to cut wood while Melvin goes off and goes to school because one day he has a dream to be a doctor. They live on such poor means, but he's studying because we believe that through a Christian education, it'll break the cycle of poverty over his life, and he will have a future and a hope. I believe it in the name of Jesus. We speak that over his life. And I was so touched because I got to go back to his house where he lives. He lives in a shack. It's dark when you walk in. They don't have proper lighting. They have one bed for the whole room. He's got four other siblings. His mom had died 8 years prior. Here's a photo of the family. That's his second wife. And they live in this little humble house. The dad said, come over, I want to feed you. And we went over to the house, and he sent Melvin to the store. He said, get the brothers a candy bar and a Coke. It's probably all they could afford. I didn't even want to receive it. But I wasn't going to offend them in their culture. And the dad cried and said, what a blessing, you know, that the ministry had been to his son and how privileged he was to have a video done about him. And I was drinking the soda, and I looked down at the candy bar, and I noticed a word in English. In Guatemala, they market this brand. You have to Google it. It's called Best Candy Bar. It has the name Best. And I thought about the word Best. Best. This Melvin's dad had literally given me his best that day. Everything that he had. Here's my best. Think about Jesus Christ who gave his best on the cross. And in this passage of scripture, the little boy, he just gave his best. And I believe when the rubber meets the road, at the end of the day, God's will, God wants us to give us his best. Our best to him. See, it's not really that our best really can meet the need, because it's a huge need. But when we give our best, God takes it. And then he can multiply it, and we become a change agent for the world. We become people that have compassion. We become people that are willing to overcome the challenges and see the challenge of reaching the world. And we become channels of God's blessing to a world that needs it. If we could have the piano come up real quick. If we could all stand up, I feel like maybe you're here today and you're thinking, man, I'm struggling in the area of compassion. I am not a compassionate person. Maybe you got challenges going on. Or maybe you're just thinking, man, I really haven't been a channel. Let's just close our eyes and take a moment to just ask God to help us. Us having compassion is a supernatural spirit God thing that only He can do. God, I pray that You would just touch every person here, Lord. That You would give them Your compassion, the same compassion when You saw the multitude. You didn't send them away. You met the need, God. I pray for supernatural, God. Compassion would come over this church. That people would start to reach their community, God. That a spirit of compassion would just reach this area. Would shake this area. That people would say, those people are relevant light. They're different. They're so different, I don't even know what it is about them. God, we just pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would give them a compassionate spirit, God. Help them with their challenges, God. Help them become channels of blessing. Help them to give their best. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated. I want to do a couple questions this morning with Darren. This is kind of a new thing that we started this morning. It was like I was sitting down there for service and just felt like I needed to. How long have you been on the mission field? You've itinerated?
11 years.
11 years. Guatemala the whole time?
We were Mexico 2 years, and then we've been in Guatemala. This is our third term to go back.
So this process that you're in right now called itineration, maybe people don't even understand what that is. Why do you come home? What is this? Why do you go around for a year doing what you're doing?
So we raise our budget. We have a year to raise our budget for 4 years. This next term, we're going for 5 years. And so we're trying to get our budget. So everything we've been able to do, helping Phoebe and all the kids, the building, the schools and all that, if it doesn't happen during this 1 year, then we have 4 years, you know, to live on what we raised this 1 year. And so that's why we're back, is to do that and encourage the churches.
And I asked you a question in first service. It happens at times. By need or by default, sometimes people don't send in their pledges. What does that do to you as a missionary on the mission field?
What happens, you have people, like we had two donors that were given $300 a month, they passed away. You know, they get older, it's just life, you know. Some people go through hard times, you know, financially, and they're not able to keep up. And so you kind of learn to work. You have fishes and loaves sometimes, and you ask God to multiply it.
Good. Good. First service, you talked about a grant that is available. Tell us about that grant at this moment, because you didn't kind of really mention a lot of that.
And so right now, we're building a new school. We believe that we built one last term, we can do it again. And we have a pastor, she's a lady pastor. 8 years ago, her husband passed away. He always had a vision to have a school. And so they started a school within the church. They have 72 kids already going, studying, that are from extreme poverty situations. And the church was given land. And so we're partnering up with Ingrid Gonzalez, is her name, to build the school. And the most exciting news was this last week, during the whole month of May, we have a $50,000 matching challenge. And so, to be honest with you, my wife and I, our budget's already raised. Our monthly's ready, and our cash that we need is already raised, so all of our offerings for the month of May are going to go to this this project to build the school. And we're trying to get the foundation done before the rainy season comes in mid-June, roughly. And so we've been working on it since September with the little bit of money that we've had. And so God blessed us with this challenge, and so we're extending that to the churches to come on board if you can.
Can I just put it, what are you looking at? How much do you need?
Babe, you want to, I think we have 2,300 already towards the challenge.
Towards
we
the
were,
challenge.
We did a Facebook post on our page this week, so.
These are unplanned questions. I'm just putting them out there. I think it's important that we are communicated to, that we understand what we're behind. We have supported you for the last 11 years.
Yep.
We've watched your ministry. We've watched you in, it was Durango, wasn't it? Were you in Durango, Mexico?
We were in Sinaloa.
Okay.
During the drug cartel and all that.
And all those areas down there, we've watched the ministry grow. We've watched your kids grow. We've prayed for you, prayed with you.
Yeah.
Met some of the challenges along the way with you as
That's
well.
Right.
And we want to step in and meet some more challenges today. I appreciate his message. I love the aspect of compassion. I thank you for praying for our church for compassion, because that's really, I think, a key of where we're needing to head for the city of Salem as well. Compassion, the challenge. We've all had challenges, and we all are called to be a conduit.
That's right.
A channel of something. And we don't have the privilege, all of us, to go to the mission field. Not all of us can go. Maybe how many have ever been on a short-term missions trip? You've been out of the country. There's been many that have gone. Maybe not all everybody has an option to go. Maybe you don't have the option that maybe you're not called to go to the mission field. But can I tell you that God calls all of us to send people to the mission field? I'm thankful for your forthrightness that you don't need the money for yourselves, that the budget's paid for. We support them on a monthly basis, going to continue to do so. But the reality is they're putting this need out there of a $50,000 need. And I believe, as I said in first service, I believe that God wants to raise the most money in a given day in an offering for missions. I believe that today is going to be our largest missions offering that we've ever given. And how that's going to function is that you be the channel. Everybody come into a place of going, okay, no, we're going to give something. Some can give more, some can give less, but everybody giving. So that means you pull out your wallet and you put some cash in. That means that you write a check. That means that you go text to give and you type in the walkers. That means that you go online and you type in an amount and you give through pay, or not our PayPal, but whatever it is that we have on there that you can pay, that you can give. And I want to challenge you today that you will respond. We've been given a message today that is transforming, life-transforming. We're watching people that are living out real-life ministry day in and day out. And sometimes we can get sedated to our culture. We can get sedated to the circumstances of our life, and I want to call you to sacrifice this morning. Okay, so I'm going to call our ushers come. Ushers, if you want to come. We're going to pray over the offering, as we're going to pray over this gift. This gift is not for us. Everything that comes in for the walkers is going to go to the walkers. Everything that, as they're saying, everything that comes in is going to go to this. We want to get this school foundation built before the rainy season. When does the rainy season come?
Mid-June.
Yeah. So we got to get going here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your opportunity. So would you offer your lives this morning? Say, God, in the name of Jesus, we come. God, I pray, God, that you would come and you'd speak to every heart and every life. God, I believe that there are those that are in this room that have never given to a missionary before. They've never given to missions. Maybe they've never even given to a church. And God, today I pray that during this moment, they would give their most generous gift. God, take our loaves and our fish today and multiply it. God, I want to be part of this. God, I thank you for this family that has given and sacrificed so faithfully serving you. God, I thank you for the vision that is within their hearts and the passion in how they do it. God, I thank you for your favor. I thank you for your blessings. God, and I also thank you for the challenges along the way. God, I know that there's probably been challenges that they're not even communicating today, God, whether it be relationally or mentally or emotionally, God, or the challenges of just there, of God, sometimes possibly even feeling alone. And God, today I pray over their lives. Would you extend your hands towards them? God, I pray over their lives. God, I pray over Darren today in the name of Jesus. God, I pray divine restoration and healing and transformation. God, you know the burdens that they're carrying. You know the weight, God, that they are lifting, God, right now. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as they are coming to the end of itineration, ready to go back to Guatemala, God, I know that they're going to be taking a vacation at the end of this itineration. And God, I pray for supernatural strength, resting, God, that you would fill them, that you'd transform them. God, I pray for fresh vision and fresh dreams. God, I pray for energy. God, I pray for safe travels. God, I pray for divine appointments. God, as they go back to Guatemala in the name of Jesus. God, that more than just this school being built, but God, there would be so much more that's being taken place. God, we pray for the children that are being impacted. God, we pray for the change agents that they are in Guatemala. And God, that these students that they're investing in, God, are not going to just be the normal anymore. God, they're not going to go back to poverty, but God, they're going to step up. New place, not just in business, but God, in relationship with you. God, that the message of Jesus Christ would transform God, Guatemala, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, that the seeds that have been planted, God, the seeds that have been planted, the seed that has gone into the ground and is dying is going to produce much more. And God, we thank you for the harvest in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you today that we get to be part of it. God, I thank you that we get up a part of it. God, today as we take a big step of faith individually today, God, pour out your blessing in the name of Jesus. God, pour out your provision in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. Amen. Give today with generosity as the ushers are passing the trays. We want to invite our prayer team to come this morning. Go ahead, ushers. We want to invite our prayer team to come. If you're here today and you need prayer in any way, shape, or form, we want to invite you to come and join them. Let them pray for you. We believe in the power of miracles. We believe in the power of God doing dynamic things in lives. I did it in first service, and I want to do it here, and I believe there's someone today. Well, I don't know what service it is, but I believe that there's someone today or someones that God is speaking to your heart about missions. Not just giving missions, but going on missions. Can I tell you that this is an opportunity for you to respond today? It's a supernatural obedience. As Darren, you didn't tell that story in first service. I believe that someone heard that story today and is challenged in somewhere internally to go, no, I need to, but I'm ashamed. Or no, I need to, I don't know what it looks like. Can I tell you, he didn't know what the definition of missions was at the moment. You didn't know what it was. You didn't know what the destiny was. It was just a step of obedience. Can I tell you today, it's a step of obedience. Would you just come and take a step of obedience today? If that's you and you're going, no, I feel missions in my blood somewhere, would you come and respond and let one of these prayer people pray with you? If you have a need of any shape or form, come and let them pray with you. If you didn't fill out a connection card, make sure you do so we can make sure that we get correspondence with you correct. We love your prayer requests. People are turning prayer requests, and we pray over them as a staff. We're thankful for you. Thank you that you came today. One more time, would you tell Darren and Heidi, thank you this morning. Again, I'm anticipating next Sunday being able to tell you the amount that is going to be a supernatural amount. So if you have it, if you don't have it with you and you want to give this week, make sure you give online. I really believe that God wants to do something through us. God bless you. Have an amazing day. Men, see you on Wednesday night. Women too, but men, come on, join us. Anyway, God bless you.